Perfect. I love this plan. All right, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Coast City Comics Club. I am Tristan.
And I am Chad.
Hey, hold on. Those pauses are mine. You can't have them. That's my thing. That's my new thing. Oh. Come on.
I'm adding. I thought the gimmick, I thought it was for the whole podcast.
No,
I thought
no, we were going to do that. No, this is just okay. Me.
It's okay.
Yeah, I add pauses to my script. That's my thing. Today we're going to be doing one of the biggest. Instead of doing like random nonsense, we're cutting straight to the meat of the matter and going for giant sized X-Men number one. Probably the most for me in comics. I would say this is to me the most important comic of my life. This is the beginning of the X-Men that we know, the newer version of the X-Men, and really like the revamping of the entire concept of the X-Men to be less of a group of like five well-to-do white kids in Manchester and being a global team of people from around the world, which again, it's, you know, if you're gonna get a team of super people, it seems like they would be more diverse than they were in the original X-Men, especially considering X-Men was this big diversity thing. The whole point of the X-Men was to be about, you know, about the world that fears and hates us, and we will overcome, and it's a civil rights thing, and it's like, it's that very Marvel representing civil rights with a superhero team.
Yeah, as long as you're from rich Connecticut.
Right, exactly. As long as you were from from Connecticut. yeah. I mean, to be fair, it does feel like... I mean, the only person who seems as though they had any challenge in their life at all prior to this was Colossus. And, you know, he was still on a really nice farm. I mean...
I disagree with that slightly, only because the very beginning of it is people trying to murder Nightcrawler.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
I forgot. Nightcrawler gets dumped into a... that's not part of this story, but, like, yeah. Nightcrawler.
He's in a literal Frankenstein's mob. Right. Yes.
Sorry, everyone. I forgot about Nightcrawler. That's so cruel. Nightcrawler is one of my favorite X-Men. You know what? I want to talk about Nightcrawler for a second. Mostly I want to talk about how much I not to be intentionally negative here, but damn you, Chuck Dixon. Arg. Come on, that Azazel thing. Come on. I hate it so much. I hate it so much.
Explain as if I never read
originally the idea for Nightcrawler was that he was going to be a demon, that they were like, when they first started kicking around the ideas for this character, I think Cockrum was in the Navy and he had come up with this idea of a demon that had failed to make enough deals or something like that. And he knew that he was going to be punished when he went back to hell. So he basically went AWOL and is hiding from hell, and he's on Earth and basically joins a superhero team. And... that's kind of the original pitch for Nightcrawler. And they brilliantly took all the demon stuff away and were like, what if he's a mutant who's persecuted because he looks like a demon and he's actually a very righteous, wholesome person and, you know, later becomes a priest and all this stuff. But then Chuck Dixon has this brilliant idea. Yeah, but what if his fucking dad is Satan? That'd be real cool, right? like you know how like you established all this cool stuff that actually really makes his personality? How about fuck that and he's actually the son of Satan? And it's like, God, everything you do, you fucking ruin Chuck Dixon. Sorry. I'm sorry to anyone. I don't think there's anyone out there who likes Chuck. I don't think I'm apologizing to anybody. I feel like that is a universal thing for X-Men fans.
I would say Chuck Dixon just threw his phone against the wall, though.
But seriously, like, I can't believe that is still continuity. So Azazel essentially is this, like, he's one of these primordial mutants. He's one of these, like, been around since the dawn of time kind of guys. Like Apocalypse or like any of those guys. And he... looks so much like Satan that he is Satan. Basically, the Bible stories of Satan are actually about him, is I believe. I could be wrong on this, but I think that was the original read, was that that was the thing. What a bummer. I don't know.
And then he got it with Mystique. Is that the story? Because Mystique's still his mom, right?
Okay, so Mystique is his actual, oh God, all right. So Mystique is his actual mother. Azazel is, I believe, still in continuity, his father. So Mystique was
Rogue is his half-sister.
Yes. Mystique was being chased by angry villagers. I believe, I'm going to get this wrong, but I think Mystique was being chased by angry villagers who wanted to kill Nightcrawler because he looked like a demon. And even though he had no mutant powers at this point, mutant powers are mostly teenage things. So as a baby, he just kind of looked like a demon. And Mystique was like, what's the safest thing I can do to protect my baby? Ooh, a well. Whoop. And so she throws him down a well to keep him away from the villagers, which probably would have killed him, except that Azazel intervened and pulled him out of there using, I believe, his ability to teleport, which is where he gets his teleporting abilities.
Okay.
And so... so that's the deal. Oh, so I'm sorry. So Mystique drops her drops him in the well, and then
that's not how babies and relationships work. I was going to try
that. So Azazel takes the baby, gives Nightcrawler to Marjorie Sardos, who is a gypsy fortune teller, and who works in. Not the Munich circus, but another circus, some other German circus, as a fortune teller. And so he's raised in the circus. And so even before his mutant abilities arise, he is this amazing acrobat. It's going back to that thing that drives you up a fucking wall, which is circuses. And
I love circus comics. I really do.
But you gotta admit, though, Nightcrawler's circus stuff rarely comes up. It's more about him being chased by angry villagers. That seems to be much more important to his history.
My circus hatred comes from the Nightwing comics.
Yeah, that's more of a Nightwing thing.
Yeah, if it's a circus story of Nightwing, just throw it right in the garbage the second. I don't care what happens.
No, I agree. I'm completely with you.
An absolute deadweight issue.
And it is also, there's something about it being like a European circus for me that gives it more of a Universal Monsters feel, because the idea of like the gypsy fortune teller in the pulled carriage and all that stuff, it feels less like a, like, wow, aren't circuses like just the coolest fucking thing that have ever been invented? Cause it's still the 1920s. This is great. I'm really happy about circuses. Instead of that, it's like this eerie, like, band of gypsies kind of feeling of going across the country and having, you know, being nomads and being, you know, being kind of outcasts just in general, but being very talented outcasts. I mean, it feels less, I don't know, less weird than the acrobat storyline for Nightwing.
I think like half of Nightwing's is like just really sad clowns or tramps. And then there's like the girl he used to date, like half date when he was like six in the circus. And like, for some reason, he's still like, we got history together, you know? And it's like, you don't, Dick. Like, the majority of your life has been either Robin or Nightwing or punching, like literally fighting killer clowns, as opposed to hanging out with actual clowns. Like, you have almost zero attachments to the circus at this point. Yeah. Your formative years, you've probably forgotten more about the circus than you actually remember.
I agree. But
and that's my case to never do another circus Nightwing comic ever again.
No, listen, I'm 100% with you. I don't think there should ever be one. But it's funny that you mentioned that, because that's another weird thing. So Storm is also introduced in this comic, obviously. One of the most important characters in comics, period. She was so popular that she literally beat Wonder Woman in the fucking DC Marvel crossover. Like, people voted for Storm to beat Wonder Woman, like one of the most iconic characters in the history of comics. So she is clearly a fan favorite, fairly popular character. But she also, that whole storyline with her and Black Panther getting married, like that was, she went to Wakanda and she was like, oh, I remember you. I saved you from some racists, some gang of racists who are going to kill you when you were a child. You know, like we were buddies.
Yeah.
Like that's another, like in Marvel, everybody knows everybody else, like from childhood. There's always like, oh, hey, you know, from Africa's not that big though. So, I mean, everybody's pretty much a next door neighbor in Africa.
Yeah. No, it's not one of the biggest continents on the planet. It's not a big deal.
All. Not a big deal.
No.
Yeah. So we get Storm, Nightcrawler, and we get Colossus, whose story essentially is that he's essentially Xavier's going to all of these places and basically recruiting. I love this because I love the idea that it just feels so, I don't know if I've ever seen anybody do this before where they were like, this is going to be a thing. Like it feels like they started doing new X-Men going, oh, this is going to be successful and we know what the fuck is going on. I'm just going to introduce these characters and then we're going to have a story and that's it. And it, I don't know. It just feels really bold. I don't feel like it's a very common thing to do this.
No, they don't do it anymore, but this is very much like it predates it, but it very much reminds me of like almost like a G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Type selection or like a Captain Planet type selection where they're like, all right, we got the coolest kid in America. Now let's go get the coolest kid in South Africa, you know, and like, let's go get this, you know, let's go get the Russian guy and let's go do this. And everyone's got a cool personality and are they going to mesh? I don't know.
No, it's like, but it is true. But so I don't want to take anything away from Claremont, but I mean, Ween left him with like, I mean, the toys that he had to play with going into writing the X-Men were so fucking incredible. I mean, starting with just such an amazing group of people. I don't know. Obviously, having Wolverine doesn't hurt. That character is going to be like, but I mean, Claremont made him awesome, obviously.
No, that scene's hilarious, though, when he goes to recruit him. They go to the Alpha Flight base. And like the Alpha Flight, whoever's in charge of Alpha Flight is just like, hey, this bald guy wants to talk to you. And Wolverine's like, all right, bubbity bubbity bub.
Yep. Because he was still Australian like, at that point, of course.
Yeah. And he's like, yo, you want to come to America with me and I'll let you do whatever the hell you want? And he was like, dope. I'm out of here. and then they're basically like, you've made a powerful enemy out of the Canadian government.
And Wolverine's like, even I think that's a hilarious thing to say. Yeah, even I, a Canadian, I like, am nonplussed by your Canadians are terrifying insult.
It's adorable you think that.
Nobody cares.
Thank you so
nobody
much.
Cares about the Canadians.
Yeah, and then he just bails immediately. God, he's like, fuck Alpha Flight.
Yeah, oh, 100%. It was so, that is, they did not really, they didn't try very hard on that one. It was more just like, okay, so, hey, Wolverine, you want to come? Yup. I didn't even tell you what it was. Don't care. Like, all right. Excellent. You'll be gutting fish in a fish plant. Is that cool? We need somebody with stainless steel knives for hands. Cool. Anything's better than Canada. That's pretty much it.
Oh, how times have changed. I'll say that.
Yeah. But, yep.
So very different from not Warpath. Thunderbird,
yes. Not Warpath.
Yeah, like Thunderbirds was weird.
Thunderbirds Professor, is insane.
Professor X says some very questionable things about Native Americans.
Agreed. So this is probably the most problematic part of this whole comic is him. I mean, and also Thunderbird's being a fucking idiot here too, which is a real bummer. Or it's not even like he doesn't even try. He's like, okay, so yeah, white people suck. You know, white people have done terrible things to my family, my ancestors, everyone going back. You guys are fucking monsters. You have done nothing but ruin our lives. I'm not going to help you and your stupid, shitty capitalist garbage world. I don't want to be a part of this. I'm trying to do my own thing for my people and do something right. And Professor X goes, yeah, I thought you were too much of a pussy to come with us. And he was like, no, what? Well, I'm totally coming with you then now.
Yeah, this line killed me. It went when Thunderbird tells him, and you can stuff a cactus, Custer. The white man needs me? That's tough. I owe him nothing but grief he's given, but the grief he's given my people. True. And I'm like, yeah. You know, he's like, get the hell out of here.
He's straight up making great points. He's not wrong on any of these points.
And then he gets Marty McFly'd by being called a chicken, and then he just immediately comes on over.
Yeah, all you have to do is call him a chicken. That's such a bummer. He definitely got screwed. I will say that the character got screwed. He was definitely born to die kind of character. He wasn't really given any chance to mature. It's too bad.
How long until he died after this? It didn't seem like it was very long.
So I think it's giant size. Then you got 96, 97, 98, and then his death, I think. So I think he got four issues.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. Yeah, I don't know. I think he got really fucked by this whole story. And I think everybody kind of thought that. And so they were like, well, what if he had a basically twin brother?
and he looks, yeah, exactly the same.
He looks exactly the same. And, you know, after feeling pretty much the same way where, you know, white people have destroyed my family and my legacy and all these things, and getting involved with the white people this time killed my brother. So I owe you something for that. Something nice. No, you don't. Stay away from these people. They're fucking monsters.
Yeah, dude. Just get the hell out of here.
Yeah, yeah, get away.
Because he was gone so fast that as I was growing up, I always thought he was Warpath.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then people are just like, no, that's Thunderbird. And I'm like, who the hell is Thunderbird? Like,
yep.
It's his big brother. He bit it real fast. And then...
Yeah, he really did. Oh my god. But
Banshees was dope though. Oh, I liked Banshees a lot. Where he goes to the Grand Ole Opry.
Yep.
And his first line of dialogue is Begorra! Tis Professor X himself now.
Yeah, he's rough.
And he goes, You Irish stereotype, come with me immediately.
It's okay. The Irish one is all right. Like, of all the people that you can choose to have a stereotype of, I definitely think that Irish is one of the ones that people are like, it's fine. Irish, Italian, these are the ones that you can go off on without any consequences. But
and
I will say,
and this,
oh, go on.
I was gonna say this. This actually also introduces one of my favorite X-Men, actually.
Really? You're not going to say Sunfire, are you?
I am going to say Sunfire.
Okay. Explain.
Now, let me explain. I will explain. Because my first introduction to...
Is this video game related?
No, it's not. My first Sunfire experience was Age of Apocalypse.
Ooh. Okay, he was awesome in Age of Apocalypse.
So I was like, man, this guy rules.
Yeah.
Like I was like, is this guy cool otherwise? And then I remember my brother at the time being like, no
he's not.
He's not cool. But he is cool in this. To me, Sunfire is always Age of Apocalypse, Sunfire first.
Yeah.
Well, and then this other guy later.
He also, I mean, that he's another character that has totally gotten hosed by all of these things. I mean, because he's set up, you need somebody who is a complete jerk on your team, and he takes the mantle of, like, he basically, you could rewrite him and just have him be Namor. He's like really haughty, he's always just like a total douche pretty much all the time. He's like, I'm better than everything that's going on here always.
Like Quicksilver.
Like Quicksilver. Very much like him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But one thing that blows my mind is how much they nailed him as far as a being a Japanese superhero character. He looks like a Super Sentai, which for the time period is shockingly smart that they would catch on to something as very Japanese as the Super Sentai stuff. He looks like a fucking Kamen Rider. Like, you look at him and you're like, oh, it's like some different Kamen Rider costume. It's awesome. It's so out of place in the X-Men. It looks bizarre in the X-Men compared, like, all of their costumes are so simple and his is so ornate. But
yeah, despite the fact that everyone's supposed to be a super weirdo, he somehow stands out.
He really,
as a guy, yeah, his powers augment his body in no way possible. Like, he just looks, he basically just looks like a wrestler, and then everyone's like, you're weird.
Yeah, he also looks very much like a luchador. He's right. Got a like real, real lucha feel to him as well. But obviously, being from Japan, it's kind of pretty much a Super Sentai thing. So what are his powers? I don't think I've ever really figured. He's sun powered, I assume.
I always thought he was microwave based, but that might be just be Firestar.
That's Firestar. She's microwave based.
That's Firestar.
Because she got cancer from her mutant powers. There was that terrible story where she was like giving herself ovarian cancer because she was using her microwave mutant powers. I don't know. I think it was some sort of way to try to scare us all away from using microwaves. I don't know.
Didn't they? They got rid of that, though, didn't they?
Yeah, I think that was something that they cleared up as far as just kind of a oopsie.
Okay. Absorb solar radiation.
Yeah. Okay.
And convert it to ionized matter into a fiery plasma state, which bursts into flames when exposed to oxygen.
And that's why he flies. Don't ask any more questions.
Oh, no, he flies because he's Japanese.
Oh, right. Okay. It's just a Japanese thing. Got it.
They don't like to talk about it.
Yes. Lucky bastards. Let's see. So we've got those guys. We've got Banshee. Ugh, Banshee. Banshee.
Actually, Firestar flies too, and she's just a microwave.
She's just a microwave. She's forgivable.
She takes right off.
Because she was a cartoon. Like, you know, she was part of the Spider-Man and his amazing friends. That's where she was created. She wasn't actually a Marvel character from before. She was a Spider-Man and his amazing friends. No. She was in Spider-Man and his amazing friends and then was introduced into Marvel later on.
I have no idea.
Like, they did, her first appearance in Marvel is a Spider-Man and his amazing friends, like, 60-pager. That's just, like, a one-shot.
Really?
And then she gets introduced into the X-Men in, like, I don't know, I think it's, like, issue 223 or something like that. She's in there somewhere. And so she kind of gets a break because she's a cartoon, you know? I don't know. It's weird because
no, it's fine, man.
I grew up on that cartoon, and that was like my introduction to Marvel was the Spider-Man and his amazing friends. So I'm just like
their super apartment.
I've modeled my life after that. Have you ever come over to my my house and flip my couch? There's a giant supercomputer underneath it.
I haven't yet.
Yeah, you need to.
Do you remember when they did during the first Spider-Verse?
Yes.
Where Moreland showed up in the Amazing Friends cartoon and killed everybody.
Yeah, that bummed me out. I'm not gonna
lie. Except the dog.
Miss whatever her name is.
Yes, from that other podcast.
From the other podcast that I can't remember the name of the dog again.
Ah, crap, though.
That stupid dog. Oh, my God. The best part of the Spider-Verse crossover was the scene when he went into the newspaper universe. Moreland goes in to kill them in the newspaper universe, and it goes like four panels, and nothing has happened. And he's like, it's like I'm frozen in time.
How does this keep starting back over again? This doesn't make any sense.
At the beginning. And so he went away and everybody
pissed and he leaves.
Yep. That's why everyone lived in that universe.
Yeah. And I think
genius.
It was like the writer or the artist at the time and said, I made sure, like, there's like a panel after that being like, I had to keep this one safe. I think it's like Stan Lee or something like that. It's like, I figured out a way to stop him. So they kept him safe. Yeah. There's a bunch of cool ones. We should do one of those eventually.
Oh, we should. That is a treasure too.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the X-Men.
So, I want to talk about Colossus because I do want to talk about all of the characters, and I feel like we didn't talk about Colossus. Colossus is so problematic as a character. They really wrote him into a corner when they were like, and he's 19 and he's dating a 14-year-old or whatever the hell Kitty Pryde was. And it's like, it's going to be difficult to scrub that from people's minds when they think of him as a character. But I think we've moved past that at this point. You know, we've had two generations at least since then. But
yeah,
man.
Yeah. I
iffy.
It's a tough one.
That's dicey.
That's a tough one. That's a tough sell. It's not even a sell. You can't even
sell
that.
No, you can't sell that. That is like go directly to jail.
Yeah, that's me trying to find the words to say I wish that never happened, and it's bad. It's bad that it did.
How do you say they should not have done this, and it's really clear that they shouldn't have, and nobody even at the time would have thought that this was okay?
I remember when we were talking about Scorpion's albums, and then there's the album Virgin Killer.
Ugh.
Jesus. Which is a terrible. Jesus. Don't ever Google it. It's the worst thing in the world.
You might go to jail just for that.
But I remember it was just like a product of a time, and you're like, no, it was never a product of a time.
Nobody who looked at that album cover went, that's okay. No.
I don't know how it got where it did, but it did, and that's kind of how I feel about the relationship. Yeah, so
absolutely. Agree.
It's like someone missed a memo.
There's nothing good about that. Why are we talking about that? It's horrible. Oh my God, that's so fucking awful.
I was using it as an example.
It's a good example. Okay, so...
But seriously, don't Google it.
Yeah, don't. And also, we've got... Colossus, clearly a little bit of a problem. But, you know, he does save all of mutant kind later on by injecting himself with the Legacy virus. So, you know, maybe it evens out in the long run.
He punched a tractor in this one, too.
And this, I think that was, like, supposed to be when his mutant abilities manifested themselves. So he ran out in front of the tractor to save his sister, and that's when he finally realized he was a mutant. He's also a murderer, right? He killed somebody because they messed with Kitty. He killed Riptide. He strangled him to death or something like that.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I think he strangled Riptide to death because he did something and Kitty was like injured and he was like, fuck this guy, and just strangled him to death.
Colossus is like another one of those mutants where his history is so complicated.
he became a crazy Leninist at one point. He was like a super communist, and he had a little Bolshevik cap and like the red suspenders.
He was a juggernaut for a bit. He had a beard for a bit. He was like,
How does that work? I hate that so much. I don't need a lot of realism in my comics, but when the metal guy gets a beard, I need to know more about it.
The beard should get cut off by the metal. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get it. Does he have hair? He has something that synthesizes hair, but it...
He does. I mean, his head is black. Yeah. It looks like the flat top or whatever he's got on. It turns a weird shape. His hair goes into a weird shape.
I think we might be reading too much into it. I think that's just me. Sorry, everyone.
No. We're going to get right down to the entire anatomy of Colossus. 3 hours later, we'll be like, oh, yeah, and then they fight Krakoa. And that's it. I'm glad you spent all this time so we could talk about Colossus's, like, I don't know, cuticles.
Yeah, I love the idea that it's like they had to make all of those little joints on him so he's like striated or whatever so that he can bend. And it's like, guys, you're trying too hard. Although I gotta say, I do love that look. I think it looks super cool. The little ringlets, because just making him silver would have been dumb and boring.
Yeah. No, the lines add a lot to him, I think. Yeah, it's the Colossus is a weird one to me because I grew up most of my X-Men introduction is from the cartoon.
Yeah.
Where Colossus is not problematic.
Right, obviously.
In the slightest. Yeah. Like he's just the cool strong guy.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, Colossus is cool. And then you get into the comics and you start reading his history and you're like, what is going on with this guy?
Yeah. Definitely that was not okay. But I mean, again, they did kill him off, so he's back. It's fine. He's back. He's a new person. He's in a new body. So all of that is gone. The new Hickman world, basically, you know, all of your sins are forgiven after this point because you're all dead. Like, every X-Men has died and has been resurrected at this point. So it's kind of a whole new world, which I think is kind of cool.
I hope there's one that never does.
That never comes back, or...
No, just, like, never has to be resurrected. It's just some lame unit who's just walking around.
Like, I mean,
you're like, yeah, we've all died and come back and be like, oh, I haven't. We're like, well, what do you do around here? And he's like, I run the shop.
You know, just I mean, it is cool. I mean, even at this point, all the mutants aren't in Krakoa. I mean, aside from like the evil ones that are fucking with people, like they haven't all decided to go to Krakoa yet. They're still pulling people in. They're still like cerebroing to find mutants that need to be brought to either safety or brought to, you know, or given the come with us if you want to live thing, like Sabretooth.
Well, they imprisoned him, right?
Yeah, he's like in a state of undeath stuck underneath the... Yeah, it's that whole like we're benevolent. Now here's your undying fate for eternity, stuck underground. Like when Batman's like, I don't kill people. What about that immortal guy? I closed him in a safe and I shot him up into space and he's gonna orbit the earth for eternity. Oh, that's way better than killing him.
But he's not dead and I didn't use a gun.
So shut up.
So Batman out.
Batman 1, this asshole 0. So whatever.
He left the KGB beast with a broken neck, didn't he?
Yes.
And he's like in the middle of a snowstorm and he's like, yeah, you'll figure it out.
To be fair, he did.
He did.
KGB beast always figures it out because he's a beast. So, all right, we get all our dumb mutants together. They're all in the room together. They've all got their fancy new outfits on, and Professor Xavier gets a Cerebro message saying that there is one of the most powerful mutants they've ever seen somewhere in, I don't know, the South Seas or whatever. And mm-hmm. He's like, you guys, this is going to be your first thing. You've never talked to each other before. Go fight the most powerful mutant that's ever been seen on the planet before. Good luck. Hope everything goes okay. It turns out it's a giant trap, and it is an island named Krakoa, which we know now to be where they all live. But at the time, it was a very angry mutant who lured other mutants into the island and siphon their life force because it lives off mutant energies.
Yeah, it's an atomic bomb island.
Yeah.
That came to life.
Yep. And
yeah,
so
but Cyclops and the team that they I guess what is down and this time is X-Factor.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken. Okay. They end up getting taken down by Krakoa.
Yes.
Cyclops loses his powers and then still manages to get back to the X-Mansion. He's just like, you gotta help me, Doc. And he goes, oh, I've got 5 teenagers with attitude that I'm able to bring on board.
Raphael.
And it's gonna be
Donatello. Yeah. Venus de Milo.
What?
Yes. So these kids with attitudes.
Yes. This international team of attitude is now here to help Cyclops get everyone back from Krakoa.
Yep.
Okay.
And first thing they do is fight a giant crab, which I think is great.
It is great.
I very much enjoyed Wolverine. Like, you get a very good, as far as your first Wolverine on a team of X-Men moment, it's pretty solid and pretty well thought out as far as making him. The dialogue is so terrible it makes me want to die, but other than that, it's very it's very on brand for the way that they take him later as a character. He's just like he's like, ah, I don't care what you're gonna do. I'm about to snickety snack, bub, boop boop doop doop doop. And he runs in there and he's like, snickety snackety doo. I'm cutting up a crab. And he does. He cuts up the crab and that was pretty much it.
Yeah. And the crab goes, Jesus Christ, oh God.
I was just trying to feed my family. I'm peaceful.
Who let this Canadian on the island? Oh God.
I excrete a substance that cures cancer. Stop.
Bubbity 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 bub.
Don't care. Snickety bubbity snickety bub.
I'm not a long-term thinker. Stab, stab, stab.
That is definitely true. I love the look of Krakoa so much. He looks, you know, it's a very man thing look. He's got the big, big glassy
big bug eyes.
Yeah. I mean, so does Sunfire though. I mean, to be fair, he's also got big like glassy red eyes.
That's why he's cool.
I think that might be part of why he didn't catch on as much. I think when you have characters like that that have really obscured eyes in that way, they're harder to relate to.
I think if you put Spider-Man eyes on his costume.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
I think he would have taken right off.
Expressive Spider-Man eyes on that costume would have saved it. 100%.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, another time an artist has completely fucked everything
up. Yeah, this is never going anywhere. And this series, I can't imagine them ever making a penny off this franchise. If
so
only they knew what
failures.
I know. What a bunch of dummies.
It's true. We're the ones who know.
I love Dave Cocker, man. This art is just so, so good.
It's sick. It's absolutely great.
Just love it. It's weird. Even though he draws Storm like an alien, which I think is a weird choice. Like, she looks like a gray. She's got like, her eyes are so high set on her face. She definitely looks like a fucking alien. She looks like a communion alien from time to time.
Her face is so ovalish.
Yeah.
Like, so shockingly ovalish. Yeah.
Well, but only sometimes. It's one of those things where it's like, it comes and goes. It's not an always face, but it's still pretty great. So now, you know, whatever. How do they even do this? Like, this might have been the weakest part of the whole franchise here is like, they show up and they're like, oh, how are we going to defeat it? And they say, don't worry, I've got this great plan. What is the plan again? They're like, well, we're all depowered, so Professor X will think at it, and that'll distract it, and then Polaris will get her powers back from something, magically, I'm fucked if I know why, and then Alex will still have his powers, because fucked if I know why, then they'll shoot him at the same time, and everything will be better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going.
That's pretty much the story.
That's pretty much it. It kind of that reminds me of that old podcast we did about the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah.
Where Adam Warlock spent like issues being like, we got a plan. I got a plan. It's dope. Whatever you're thinking is wrong. I've got an awesome plan. And their plan was literally to have the Silver Surfer go really fast and try and snatch it from his hand.
He's been
but he wouldn't tell anybody what it was. And then after it happens, it's just like everyone who's dead had to be like, are you fucking kidding
really?
Me?
Really? This is your plan? Get him. That's your plan?
Your plan was to do a major look and then snatch it.
What an
hey,
asshole.
Hey, Warlock, you suck.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Cyclops, you suck too in this one. Just an FYI.
Yep. So, yeah. So that's essentially it. We don't really ever get any kind of like big brilliant plan. It's just this is just very weak. These are your powers. Just somebody does something and it's super cool. Whatever, you're done. Good. Done.
Yeah, it's a showcase.
Yeah.
to be like, these are why these guys are cool.
But it is true. This does show you why these guys are cool. It's obviously, I mean, Len Wein, man, this dude has created a lot of the things that I really enjoy. I mean, between Swamp Thing and this, he's pretty much one of my favorite creators. This issue, again, as much as Claremont gets all of this credit, it's all here. Like, there is a lot of this stuff that later was used that is just created here, and he just kind of expanded on what was already given to him.
That's still being used.
And there's stuff in here that so much still being used that it's the basis of the Hickman story. That the current ongoing references this exact story as one of the main focuses.
Now, can you explain something to me?
Is it going to be about Bloodstorm? Because no, I can't.
No. How does Krakoa just take off into space?
He was called back to his home planet.
He died on the way back to his home planet.
Yes.
He got poochied.
He got poochied. He straight up got poochied. I don't know. I do not know.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
And you know what? That's fine. That's actually, I'm okay with that. I kind of like the idea of an island going, screw this, and then just like popping off planet Earth and be like, yeah, right out of the atmosphere.
I mean, it's no worse. It's no worse than the Thunderbird getting Springfield Shelbyville'd into joining the X-Men. Where he's like, I don't know. I don't know, guy. This is more of a Shelbyville sort of idea.
Yeah. Maybe I should have...
Whatever it is, we'll
maybe
buy
I
it.
Should have gone to the, maybe I should have gone to the Cherokee tribe.
What? Yeah.
What?
That's it.
They sold their soda to the Jeep company. I won't do that. I'll show them.
Whatever you want from me, I'll do it. Boo. So that's the story. That's this. And let me tell you something.
And what a thing it was.
And what a thing it was. Yeah.
It's my review.
No, I agree. This is one that, as sad as this is for somebody who claims to be a fan of the X-Men, this was a first time read for me. I had never read this before. I'd never gone to Giant Size X-Men before. I don't know, vintage, like the oldies, there's something about this age of comic books that the writing is so stilted and so bizarre that I don't have any history with it, so it doesn't give me that nostalgic feel. It just feels stilted and weird. The writing just feels strange, and that's all it is to me. And it's too bad because the art is so good, and it's... You know, it's an art form that the writing for comics is an art form that has developed over time, you know, and it's through no fault of their own that they're writing like this. This is how you wrote a comic at this time. This was like, Marvel even had like rules on how you wrote like this, where it was like, oh, you have to, you know, have these dumb lines about what someone's powers do every four pages or whatever. It's, you know, they were written for children, and then the children got nostalgic for it, and then they started writing for older people, and then the script started getting more... They started evolving. And
sexual.
Yes. More boobs is what I'm trying to say.
That's what we're all getting at.
Well, that happened too, unfortunately.
It did.
But,
yeah.
I don't know. It's I'm an X-Men fan through and through.
I feel the same way.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Because the greatest stuff, it's hard for me to go back to.
I feel that way about Spider-Man. So don't feel bad about that. Because
I tried to do that once. I mean, I tried to go back.
Yeah.
On
like
on
I
read.
Well, I had a kid come into the store once, and he was like, I want to start at the beginning of Spider-Man. And I was like, you don't.
You really don't. You think you do. Know?
it's real first season of Simpsons. Like, I'm telling you.
It's first season of Simpsons for like 20 years. So,
They go over it again like 500 times. Like, you don't need to go back. You can. You can if you want to, and that's totally fine. But you don't have to, because, like, as you've mentioned with X-Men, like, they go over this stuff. They rehash it again
That is the magic of comics. Don't worry. Someone will re-explain the origin of X character or whatever else to you ad nauseum for the rest of history. You're never going to be confused if you read five issues. You know, as long as you get five issues in, you're going to be fine, which is funny because that's no longer true. You know, like, imagine somebody picking up Hickman's X-Men at issue five and being like, I'm going to start reading the X-Men. Good luck.
That would be a challenge.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. What the hell is going on? I mean,
or Justice League in the past year and a half would be like,
what's a source wall? Oh my God. Why is this still going on?
There's an anti-source wall. Why is that Batman bad? Who's this lady? What is happening?
Is she that lady from the New 52 who does the exact same thing? Oh, there's another lady who's even more whatever the lady from the New 52 is who doesn't exist anymore. Her name's Perpetua. Oh, God. You know what? I give up. So Pandora
Lex
is now
Luthor
Perpetua?
Sucked up a Martian? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yep. No. It is definitely not. It is no longer like that. And that is the big problem of these kinds of weekly, monthly comics evolving like this, is that as they get more complicated, it means that they have to be inaccessible. And that's kind of a bummer. And I think that's why like Marvel Action exists, why the new IDW series exists. Because while you're going into, if you step into Spider-Man somewhere around now, you're completely fucking lost. If you step into Marvel Action, it's basically going to be, you're like, oh, look, it's Miles Morales and Silk and somebody else, and there's the Vulture. What, did he rob a bank? Cool. Good. They're fighting. It's over. The comic is done. Great. We know where we are. We know the point of this story. It's just, it's a much easier thing, especially for a younger audience who's just like, I want to read a comic book, and I want to know what's going on, and then I want to put it down, and I want to go on with my life. And that is...
Exactly.
I'm glad that that stuff exists now. It's nice to have Marvel Action comics around.
Yeah. Between that and trades.
Yeah, of course.
I think that's probably the easiest way to do stuff. So.
Yeah, and I mean...
Or buy them every week. I don't know.
Just constantly buy comics all day long.
And never stop.
Never, ever, ever stop. Yeah. Ugh, Marvel. Are we ever going to talk about DC on this thing? Are we ever going to like actually go through and do like a real DC kind of read?
I would like to. It's funny because I think that was when I put up the post on Instagram being like, what would you guys like to hear? It was like mostly Batman.
Oof.
I know.
How do you even talk about a Batman series? Because it's not even, there's no complexity to it. It's just they're good stories, but there's nothing. There's nothing that confuses anyone. There's nothing that anyone would need to know about or need to hear about. Like, when you talk about this, anytime I hear somebody go over an X-Men story, I hear something about a character that I didn't know. Or, you know, there's some sort of engaging weird thing. It's like with Batman. It's like, you're writing a fun detective story, but I don't know that there's a lot of this sort of, like, Marvel nonsense in there. I can understand doing it with like Superman because there's so much nonsense in there. That's what we should start doing. Some Superman 60s stuff where he gets like ice cream vision and things.
Yeah. No, I think there's a lot of things in there. I think like, I remember, what is it? I think Bob has like several conspiracy theories about Metamorpho.
Oh, Jesus.
If you ever want to sit him down about those.
I swear to God, Bob knows more about DC Comics than any human being on Earth.
Yes, and I think if he heard your last sentence being like, I don't think there's any complexities that we're going to be looking for there.
I think he'd tear the top of my head off and eat my brains.
There are so many things in his apartment on fire at this moment.
I don't even know that he's that much. You see, that's the thing about Bob is that he definitely reads Batman and things like that, but he would be more of the 60s kind of like big, complicated, ridiculous things, the Batmite stories and those sort of more fun things that like a modern Batman fan would pretty much ignore. He's not big into the dark, whatever stories, nor am I, but also like even the kitschy ones can't catch me quite enough. I will read one and very much enjoy it from time to time, you know, like Batman splits into the rainbow spectrum and there's like a rainbow of Batman. I liked that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was a fun little crazy story. And they're very charming and they're very kiddy and kid friendly and fun. But sadly, what brought me into the idea of superhero comics was Morrison doing X-Men. Reading that Morrison X-Men run, I was like, oh man, there's something amazing here and I need to know more about all of this. I want to know everything about the X-Men. Mm-hmm. And you know, there was never anything again that was quite what Morrison brought to the X-Men, but still it made me want to read everything. And I did, like when all that was coming out, I was still subscribing to Extreme X-Men and all these like absolute garbage comics that had been coming out. It was like anything. If it had an X on it, I was all over it.
So. Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. Cause like most Batman that I enjoy, and I know I mentioned this to you before, is the stuff where it seems like people also who are writing it also hate Batman.
Yeah, well, Morrison would definitely be in that camp. Like,
right, because I loved everything Morrison did with Batman. I was like, this is great. Why aren't you loving this? And they're like, yeah, but he's not fighting the Joker. And I'm like, yeah, what? Yeah, like,
yeah,
why
but
would
he's
he?
Doing meth in the gutter, and he thinks he's Zorin R, and he has a Batmite that's telling him what to do.
Yeah, and he's a computer Batman in this one. And this one, he's fighting a kaiju. And, like, you know, they have a cow now. What do you want?
Well, that's Dark Knight's metal for you right there. That's like,
yeah,
just as much craziness as you can cram into a Batman story. That's what he's done.
Yeah.
He's been, I mean, because there's literally an issue coming out that is going to be mostly about the B-Rex. If I read the solicit right, the Batman Tyrannosaurus Rex that is in, is in this story is going to get his own story arc somewhere down the line.
Like, sure.
Yeah.
He's just, they've done, I mean, basically, this is also Morrison, I think, from his Justice League time, is like Batman is so unstoppable.
Yes.
That he's now achieved, like, it, with all this metal stuff, mm-hmm. is like almost a godlike status.
Oh, 100%. I mean,
from just being a person, you know, like he is somehow superseded to be the foundation or at least the linchpin of every multiverse creation, whether it be good or bad, is now centered around what Bruce Wayne does.
Yeah.
And that is insane.
And I love it. I mean, and that's fun. Yeah. And it is definitely, I would agree. I would definitely be on the side of saying that is Grant Morrison's fault, because Grant Morrison's Justice League was what made it so brilliant was the way that he wrote Batman, because it grounded this insane, insane story of like gods, of literal space gods fighting crazy space wars and doing all these bizarre, massive, like just unbelievable, incomprehensible things. And then saying, but the human being who is there at the same time, this dude is like, he's still on top of it and he's using his mind. And because they're stronger than him, this guy is thinking better than the rest of them, and he can get around all of this using his mind. And there's some sort of wonderful feeling about that where you're like, oh, good. you know, it's like a lot of comics, it's kind of a fantasy fulfillment, but also a reassurance about the fact that the world is ultimately good, and the idea that we can overcome obstacles no matter how giant they seem to be in our way. Mm-hmm. You know, oh God, Batman's an Ayn Rand story. Oh fuck. Shit. I think I might have.
Sorry.
Oh no. Oh boy.
But yeah, but
what
I mean,
would happen
that
if Batman stopped Batmaning just for a
uh-oh.
Second?
Uh
oh. Oh no. What if Batman shrugged? Sorry. Anyway.
I thought Sean wrote that.
Yes, he did. He was called Batless Shrugged.
Yeah. No, I think between that and to go back to what Sean did, the cartoon.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like the cartoon was like Batman perfectly grounded.
Yep.
Like fighting, doing human stuff.
Yes.
Even though like it does involve like a crocodile man every once in a while, but it's still mostly human interaction.
Yeah.
You know, and like that's Batman perfectly grounded. And then the comics, when Grant Morrison was writing it, was like, what, you know, like Batman turned up to 45, yeah. Like way past 11.
Yes. Way.
And then everything in between that to me, where I'm just like, you know, but I know that's the most popular stuff in between.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, my favorite Batman for a very long time has been what's going on right now. Joker War, yeah. The James Tynion stuff is probably my favorite Batman story that I've read. I can't think of how long. Probably going
really?
Back to when Scott Snyder was writing the Robin Batman. So the Dick Grayson Batman. For like
oh,
the Black Mirror
so
stuff.
Good.
I think that was my so last good. Favorite Batman run. And then after that, I haven't really liked anything as much as I like what's going on right now. And again, I'm not okay. a fan of the Joker stories or any of that stuff. I think the Joker is so overplayed, and it feels like such a corporate move by DC to be like, the Joker movie just made $10 trillion. Put the Joker in everything. And it's like, guys, that's not the Joker from the comics. You just remade Taxi Driver. It's a great movie, but it's not the crazy guy with like weird fish that are like putting smiles on people's faces with poison gas. He's a
yeah.
crazy guy who's basically Taxi Driver. Basically, like, he's way too grounded, and that was like an art film, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, my favorite Batman is Lego Batman. That is mine.
I can see that. I can see why people would think that.
That one where he's flying around doing the DJ song about his parents being dead is easily. I genuinely laughed out loud when I watched that movie. I was like, this is real good. And I knew because I was like, this is probably pissing off some people who love Batman. And that's part of the reason why I really enjoyed it.
I remember, I don't know, I hope this isn't saying something that Sean wouldn't want someone to say, but I remember when the Lego movie came out, Sean came back from watching it. He went to see it in the theater, and he was so
yep.
upset because basically they had crossed a plot line that was kind of similar to something in White Knight, and he was like,
oh,
are
yeah.
you fucking kidding me? Like, he had it, like, all his stuff had been written for months. Like, his script had been done way before this thing. And then this comes out. He sees it in the theater, and he was like, you've got to be shitting me. I mean, I don't know that even 1% of people who read the story and watched the Lego movie saw the connection that he saw. Because I don't think I...
Yeah.
I certainly didn't.
Like, yeah.
I was like, oh, that? Nah, you're good. You're fine. But he was like, oh... He was definitely not stoked after that.
I'm sure. It's his baby, though.
It is. And I think that's the other thing, is that he lived with that thing for like 2 years or a year prior to that, and was just like eating and breathing that stuff forever. So it.
Right.
That's such a thing that happens. And it's such a bummer. You hear so many of these guys that are like long timers, they're like, you know, they get upset when someone else is writing their book, you know, that they have written that doesn't belong to them. You know, somebody else comes onto Daredevil after somebody else leaves and they're like, oh, this guy's messing up my book. And it's like, dude, they're messing up the Disney Corporation's book. I know. Yeah. I know we have these attachments to these characters, but unfortunately, at the end of the day, they're owned by that evil mouse.
I don't know if you've listened to all the Ninja Turtles Comedy Bang Bang podcast.
No, I have not.
It's real good, if I can give it a shout out. It's behind a paywall. It's only $5, but they every week. Because they started it on Comedy Bang Bang, where they kept talking about it.
Yeah.
And they were making up a movie that all the turtles are dead except one. And then they're going out for revenge. And that's been their joke for a while. And then they started doing this podcast. And then
the last the comic Ronin got announced. Is literally what's coming out next.
Yeah. And then they keep pitching like ideas. They are. And so they were just like, okay, I guess that's a thing that's happening now. And and then they keep coming up with ideas. And then apparently, like, Seth Rogen apparently now has, like, a new Ninja Turtles project in the works that kind of has some of the things they've talked about.
What? What is like, going I'm not sure on?
They're like, I'm not sure we should keep talking about this. You know, like, we're losing a lot of money on this bit. It's like
that's a good Sprig. Impersonation. Good job.
Yeah, thank you. I've tried my best.
Yeah. Oh, shit. That's
no,
so weird.
No, listen, Scott. Scott, listen here.
Scotterick.
Yeah.
What a weirdo. That's so strange. I want to hear it. Oh my god.
But I think it's also like a thing in comedy too. It's just like where people are just like, they stole my joke and they stole my material, and it's just like, well, a lot of people think about the same things. Yeah. And it's just like it's not necessarily that your idea is original, it's just maybe your wording's a little bit different, but there's a lot of things that people think about that are generally the same.
Yes. Like, so much.
How many people have thought about, what if all the turtle died except one? You know, it's like probably a lot of people thought about that.
Probably an awful lot of people. I agree. I think that's I don't think that's a terribly original concept, but
you know, evil Batman. Yeah, sure. It's like, yeah, we've seen it.
Yep.
We've heard about it. We've all thought about it.
Yes. But what about a dinosaur Batman?
I will tell you, not exactly, but when I was in second grade, I wrote Teenage Mutant Ninja Dinosaurs as part of my class project. And I was thinking about this the other day, because I could only imagine being a second grade teacher during that time, where it's just like everything is fucking Ninja Turtles that's being turned into you, and like how obnoxious that must have been. But so I'm trying to write this story as fast as I can, and it had to be done in one day, and it was like illustrations and everything. And my teacher's like, you almost done. And I'm like, yep, hold on, I got it. And I go up in front of this class and I read this story, which is the direct ripoff. Shredder's a T-Rex. I think I made Raphael an Ankylosaurus because it was my favorite dinosaur. And this ends, okay? And I remember this clear as day, and I can't believe there was not a note sent home to my parents. This ends when all four ninja dinosaurs stab the T-Rex in the head and he dies.
So they were tool-using dinosaurs. That's good.
They absolutely had weapons. This was very Eastman and Laird, where they killed Shredder in the first issue. Nice. But it was definitely like a group homicide.
Yeah, there definitely should have been a note sent home to your parents.
It should have just been attached to it with just a grand gesture going, what the hell happened here?
What is going on at your house?
Talk to your son. Okay.
He loves those murder turtles.
Yeah, it made me think of it the other day. So there you go. There's a window into my childhood.
That's a pretty good window. All right, I'm going to wrap this up. We're going to have to talk about
end it there.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about Chad getting murdered next time. Didn't we leave off last time saying that we were going to tell the story of you almost getting murdered?
Yeah. I think the bit is that we'll never tell the story and we'll just keep saying, oh, I guess we'll have to do it next episode.
Okay. Let's stick to that bit. Yep. I love it. Awesome. Well, thank you, Chad. That was fun. You can follow us on the Instagrams at Coast City Comics Club. Yep. And you can follow the store at Coast City Comics. And you can buy things at CoastCityComics.com. You can buy your regular weekly books from us and we'll ship them to you. That's a thing we do across the country. So many things. I'm listing our entire store on the web. So it's like you have, if you're in the middle of nowhere, you got a little local shop right there. You aren't supporting Amazon or some dum-dum. You're supporting us, other dum-dums. Yep.
And David's going to be on the store soon, too, so you can buy him.
Yes, we'll put David up there.
He said he's putting the whole store up, and he wasn't kidding.
It's everybody. You can buy my soul. That will definitely be on there. It is attached to the store somehow.
Yep, the ghost of Ratso will be up there, everything.
Oh, poor Ratso. I'm sorry. It was either him or me. I don't know.
Good
what
night, everybody.
You know what? Yes. Good night, everybody. That's it. I'm not telling you about Ratso either. I don't want to go through this. This will be a story for another time. All right.
All right.
See you next week. Good okay. night, Chad.
Good night.
All right.
All right. I'm going to stop right now.